Yeah, this is my guy right here. Everybody knows that. Stephen Silton in studio joining us here on The Lake Show. He joins us at times weekly, at times when he's traveling internationally. It'll be a couple of weeks, but he's always around. What's going on, my man?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
You look great, man.
Yes, thank you. Just came back from Martin Patrick 3, updating my wardrobe, lost a little weight, and down a shirt size.
Just look at all sexy and slim.
Yeah, I don't know. Sexy, but slimmer. I don't know. Sexy and slim. No one
is
ever.
Sexy is slim. Everybody wants to be slim. Now was the time to lean out. I actually have lost 10 pounds. I have lost 10 pounds in the last 2.5 weeks because I've only eaten meat once. And the only time that I ate meat and I've had no sugar was this past Saturday at the NAS Gala. That was it. I had surf and turf, so there was the steak on the plate. That was it. I haven't had any meat and have no sugar for almost 3 weeks.
I heard that gala was off the hook.
Unbelievable. John Baptiste is like the man. He was unbelievable.
No, I saw you were there, Martin.
Everybody
Nance was there. Everybody was anybody.
But you weren't.
I know I wasn't. I was at Heidi's holiday party. I couldn't have gone even if I would have been. Yeah. But you're going to miss.
I love your wife, by the way. She's awesome.
Yeah, she was so good for to see you at the Wolves game. That was
at
so
the
fun.
Wolves game, yeah. That was the last time we saw each other was at the Lakers-Wolves game. Mm-hmm. And now I'm assuming you'll be there tomorrow night?
I will. And in fact, I was going to be there. I was going to take one of my partners who's going to be running late. So I'm taking my wife again. Very excited.
Nice.
Very, very.
Is she more excited than you or you more excited than her?
You know what? She actually yesterday. Mm-hmm. Asked me which game we were going to in this next series. So she's starting to get into it. I always thought she was kind of, you know, football was her sport and baseball because of our son. But now she's getting into basketball.
I do got to mess with you a little bit because you're not – well, I'm not going to be there tomorrow night because I'm going to be – because I'm on the clock. I will be doing
Twins
duty. I'll be at Target Field. Understandable. You are not going to be available to go see Messi. Because you have something going on.
Well, right, but you're not going to go to the Wine Fest. So this weekend, this weekend is ML Fairview's Wine Fest, which is about as big of a gala as
that
the Nas
big.
Gala or anything.
That is,
and I have not. I think you noticed I have not had a drink in 2025. That will end this weekend. I'm gonna drink wine at Wine Fest.
Nice.
And my good friend D-Lynn Proctor. Do you know D-Lynn?
I do not.
Oh my God, D-Lynn is the sommelier to the stars. Jay-Z, Carmelo Anthony, Jimmy Butler.
Really?
Yeah, he's got his own show on television, and he comes in town. Yeah, D-Lynn Proctor. He is the.
Oh, I think you told me about this person last year.
One of my favorite people. Absolutely, the guy knows wine, and more importantly, he knows fellowship. And every
Tesca Estate and Winery,
correct, which is owned by a Minnesotan, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah, it's owned by what's his name, Dick Schultz's daughter actually owns. Okay. And you know, every time you're with him, you feel like the occasion is special, right? Like you just he's just one of those special people that kind of brings. That's why, of course, I love food so much, right?
Don't we all?
Like, 100%. You know, a great chef not only creates great food, but they bring the whole evening together. D-Lynn does that with a bottle of wine like no one I know.
That's awesome, dude. All right, we got a bunch of stuff we want to get into. The very first thing is something that you mentioned to me a day ago that I'm still trying to wrap my head around this, but President Donald Trump is reportedly considering an executive order limiting NIL after he had a meeting with Nick Saban.
Yeah. And
this does not make much good sense to me.
It doesn't. But it's one of these weird situations. And you and I have talked politics, and neither of us are a fan of the president. However, this is one of those strange situations where if anyone could fix this kind of politically charged, incredibly complex, bizarre third rail type of a situation, it might have to be someone who is willing to do anything, right? Who's willing to take chances to do whatever kind of strikes his fancy. And it's not clear how he's going to limit NIL. It's not clear what was said in this meeting with Nick Saban. And, you know, you and I talked about this online. It's pretty rich that Nick Saban now saying, well, the system's broken, right? I mean, this is a guy.
When he benefited from the system for I don't know how many years.
Yeah, exploiting his free labor for for a 40-year career making, you know, hundreds of millions of
dollars.
Doing
Affleck commercials. Come on, man. I think the old school coach is getting out now because they don't want to deal with it. And if you don't want to deal with it, that's fine. You have every right to retire. But I can't take Nick Saban seriously.
Yeah, well, neither of us have. And you and I, in fact, one of the first times I was ever on the show, we were talking about Mark Ingram, right, who got hurt in college, right? And remember, he brought Trent Richardson from Arkansas, Nick Saban did, to push Ingram back onto the field. And sure enough, what did Ingram do? He rushed himself on. Now, interesting enough, we turned out, I don't want to say wrong, but Ingram had a heck of an NFL career.
Yeah, he was a good running back.
Yeah. But a lot of those players who were pushed back on, you know, in particularly in those kind of high physicality positions, their career is drastically shorter. And they're not, at the time, they weren't getting paid a penny. I mean, but here's an interesting thought, right? There's $1.7 billion, I read this in one of the articles, that was paid through NILs. There's got to be a more efficient way to distribute that $1.7 billion in this kind of Wild West kind of, you know, NIL system that we have right now.
I don't think that of all the people in the world that has the ability to pull it off, first off, doing things by executive order all the time, it just, what does it really say about you? Like, I get that you're supposed to use executive orders for certain things, whatever, but I don't understand an executive order for this. If you are truly the art of the deal guy, then have everybody get in the room and work something out as opposed to an executive order, number one. And then number two, and I have said this for a while, it makes no sense to me why people are upset with NIL or athletes making money. You know what the American way is? The American way is we live in a capitalist society. We are taught as a young kid to you're fully grown, make as much money as you can, maximize your talent. And now we're telling people that we're about to do an executive order limiting NIL that flies in the face. No, I'm not sitting here saying that I like the way that things are going for college sports. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is there's better ways to go about it than this.
Listen, you and I are in violent agreement that college athletes who are in revenue-producing sports should be paid,
yes,
right? And they should be paid commensurate with the economic benefit they provide their schools.
How do we get there? Yep.
Okay. The question is the current NIL system actually satisfying that? And I don't know if it necessarily is. And it's interesting, you know, and you and I also agree that, you know, Trump's got these autocratic tendencies, right? I mean,
yep,
we could spend a lot of time talking about that. We had Jeff Hayden here. We talked about it with someone who does that for a living. That being said, he's, you know, an instinctual type of an individual, might be the one who can fix this. I mean, think, if you had Barack Obama who was faced with this problem, I could see what he was going to do. He would put together commissions and panels and have everyone sit in the room and talk about, you know, all these different ways of doing it. And they'd wring their hands for the next 6 to 9 months. Trump, if somebody is able to get an idea that looks like a solution, Trump will just try to ram it down people's throats. And frankly, putting some type of order to the chaos that is college NILs wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Gotcha. All right, 651-461-9226. If you'd like to ask a question of our guest, Stephen Silton, who is hanging out with us here in studio. But by the way, when we look at the, because you've always talked about and brought up the Northwestern thing, the unionizing.
Yes, the King Coulter case.
Do you think that there's any legitimacy to maybe something playing out that way too?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's not going to come from this president. This president is not going to encourage the unionization of collegiate athletes. I often have said that the NCAA would have benefited by losing that case because they now would have had one body to negotiate with, right? If all of the college students had a union to join, you would have someone you could negotiate with. You could actually have some type of orderly NIL program. You could actually have some type of orderly payment programs. I don't know why the colleges aren't paying these players directly.
Yep.
Right? I mean, essentially, you're just taking the old booster system, right? Like, no one really knew what NIL are. Now we do. It's the old school booster system where they used to put money in suitcases and hand it to the star athletes, done out in the open. There really is. It's not particularly elegant, nor is it organized.
It's not, but it, you know what it does? It levels the playing field. Because back in the day, it used to be Alabama and all the big dogs. Now the mid-majors are getting in on the same
right. Well, that's why Nick Saban got out when he did, right? Yep. Nick Saban ran a notoriously dirty program. He played all his players in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, right, which was the only game in town, and everybody protected him. And when all of a sudden everyone else got to pay their players, it wasn't quite as easy to win, right? It wasn't as easy. The playing field was leveled. But you could level it even more by having salary caps, some type of reasonable salary caps.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, I want to get into a story, another college football story involving a young man who is suing because of a diagnosis that he got, but it was the issue that he had with the program that he played for that's leading to this. We'll explain it next year. Henry Lake with Stephen Zilton on The Lake Show. I wanted to get into a very unfortunate and sad story and get Steve Silton's take on it. It involves a young man by the name of Greg Brooks Jr. He was a safety at LSU. That's a big-time program in the SEC. They've had tremendous amount of success. Back in August of 2023, he was experiencing some nausea, dizziness, and headaches during football practice. Okay, so this is preseason. This is workout. This is we're ramping up for the season. August of 2023. Nausea, dizziness, headaches during the football practice. He was going to the staff there and telling the staff, like the coaches and the trainers, I don't feel well. Something's going on. Yada, 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 whatever. Well, they were listening to him, but not really truly listening to him. And they didn't think it was a big deal. Well, damn, it was a big deal. Because finally, after 30 days in September, they found out and he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And he underwent brain surgery. And his life has been forever altered.
Like anyone with brain surgery like that would be for sure.
Yeah, he's in a motorized, I guess you could say a wheelchair or device. His speech and everything is just really it's a bad ordeal for him. And the one major thing is that they didn't on the front end, really check him out the way that they should and didn't take everything seriously. And then finally later, they find out, no, we've got a really, really big problem here. And so now he is suing. They filed in August of 2024 a negligence lawsuit. LSU, also Our Lady of the Lake Regional Medical Center in Baton Rouge, where he underwent brain surgery. He recently sat down and did an interview with The Pivot, which is a super popular podcast. Ryan Clark from ESPN, former Pittsburgh Steeler cornerback. He won a championship ring with the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of the best analysts on ESPN in terms of football. And an LSU cornerback, too. Like, he's a former LSU guy. After they sat there and did the interview, on camera, Ryan Clark broke down and cried. Wow. When I saw it, I kind of got a little emotional too because it was so, so sad, the state that this kid is in right now. What do you make of a situation where a university doesn't take an athlete's concern seriously, and then ultimately a month later they find out how serious it is?
Well, there's a Latin term, I think it's, if someone knows this directly, call and correct me. I think it's in loco parentis, which means essentially you're in the position of the parents. And a college is in that position, right? They're essentially taking over responsibility. And when this player goes to his coaches and says, listen, I'm not feeling good, those coaches have responsibilities to actually check him out and to get him the proper medical care. And by not doing that, that's, you know, there's real liability there. I would say that is a real lawsuit. And, you know, it gets back to what we were talking about in the last segment, where the playing field has become more level, but it's still not level. Right. Like, you know, these coaches want to keep these players on the field. And if they see this as something that, it's minor, they're dizzy, they're not feeling good. Of course, we're pushing them hard. Right. They're not taking it seriously. And in this case, it was tragic. A lot of times it's not this serious. But in the case it is, right, you know, this was directly impacted by the coach's indifference.
They, according to the filing, despite continuing to report those symptoms on a daily basis, it was not until 39 days later that the team made an appointment with a neurologist who discovered the brain tumor. Like, this should be a slam dunk, right?
It should be. You know, these cases are never easy, but this is a really good case. I mean, proximate cause, in other words, did that 39-day delay actually, you know, impact his ability to treat the cancer? Could be an issue. That being said, cancer cells generally grow in young people at these alarmingly high rates. Hence why childhood cancer is so horrific and tragic, because their cells are already expanding quickly, right? And frankly, how sometimes people in their, you know, older aren't as impacted as negatively. So that would help there. But this is, you know, there's no such thing as a slam dunk in the law, right? LSU's got good lawyers, and they're gonna defend this. I mean, you know, the question really becomes, is this the kind of program? I mean, where was the athletic director? Where are the
have not heard from the head coach. I find that that's unacceptable.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what college you're at. Any college is unacceptable. You're at LSU, dude. Like, yeah. These people send you their kids, and that's supposed to be like your son on campus.
100%. Listen, and it's amazing that coaches like that can be successful, because really at the end of the day, what people want from their coaches are people who care about them, right? And most of the good coaches I had, right, I'm sure you had, really do care about their players, right? I mean, you could see a situation where this coach was like, listen, you know, we're pushing you hard. You know, this is about the maturation process and being accidentally indifferent. When you say that the coach hasn't, I mean, the coach should have gone to their house.
Yeah.
Right? Like, most coaches would have gone to their house, even if the parents kick them out. The coach then, listen, I just want to tell you I'm sorry.
The father was not even told about the surgery until they were getting ready to do the surgery. The hospital or somebody called from the staff and says to Mr. Brooks, we need you here now. Your son's going into emergency surgery. Like, how is that the first time I'm being told my kid's going into brain surgery?
I wonder what Justin Jefferson would say about this, right? I mean, that's the most kind of prominent LSU alum I can think of.
And if you were to look at this kid's, like, his highlights, like, he looks like he's probably going to play in the National Football League. And now he's struggling to even live.
Yeah, I mean.
And he just says, I just want to be normal. That's all I want.
Yeah, I mean, listen, these are the things, you know, we all take for granted, right? And these players take it for granted all the time, right? I mean, literally, you know, when you have these superhuman skills, which they have, right, they take for granted kind of the normal everyday life, right? I mean, we've talked about that with regard to CTE and the impact on you know, long-term on professional football players. I mean, this is obviously unrelated in any way to do with the sport itself, but, I mean, listen, I'm a parent of two children. I worry about their health on a daily basis. My brother's son was diagnosed with spinal cord cancer when he's 18 months. He's 14 or 15 now. God, I hope I get Eli's age right. Love the kid. But, you know, he's battled it like a champ and gets the best medical care. And you know, hopefully he'll die of old age. But it's, you know, these are things. These are real things, man. They transcend sports. And I don't know who is the head coach of LSU now. Nick Saban used to be the head coach of LSU years
ago. He came over from Notre Dame.
Brian Kelly.
Yes, Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly.
I always thought Brian Kelly was a bit of a
Everybody says that about him. They're like, he's not.
Can I say douche on?
Yeah, you just did.
Okay.
I don't know where the dumb button's at, so I guess it's going to have to stay.
Okay. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think he is kind of known for that wherever he's gone.
He is.
And, you know, listen, it catches up with you. I mean, coaches generally have high EQs. I don't know if you ever spent any time with Kevin O'Connell, but I've had the privilege of having a couple of dinners with him. And for a 39-year-old kid, Kevin O'Connell would succeed in any field ever. I've never been with anyone with an EQ as high as this guy.
Really?
And, oh, my God, it's insane. And I can imagine the players at every level. Listen, when you have 100,000 people in kind of a tight area and they're drinking and they're doing kind of silly stuff. Remember this tragic situation, Josh Hamilton, remember the center fielder for, what was it, the Rangers?
Yeah.
Right? He had all this drug and alcohol problems, got himself back into the league, was all excited, started playing great, and he was playing center field at some, caught a ball to end the inning and threw the ball into the stands with a father and his like 4-year-old son. The father fell off the railing.
Oh, no.
Right? The fell off the railing and died, right? The son was, they didn't know who the son was because there was so much confusion, right? It was one of the most tragic situations.
You know, so crazy that you say that. I was wondering what happened to Josh Hamilton. But that's not on Josh Hamilton.
No, it's not on Josh Hamilton at all.
Yeah.
What? I mean, you go to a baseball game. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
You go to a baseball game. What? There's nothing better. Maybe seeing a no-hitter, a grand slam, and catching a ball, right? Josh Hamilton throws you a ball, right? He sees you sitting next to your son. He's trying to make this dad's months, right? Like, months, right? I mean, mistakes are made. People are human, and tragedies happen, right? I mean, it happens all the time. I don't see those cases. They're generally covered by insurance, but I hear about them. And it very rarely does a week go by in this state without somebody. And there's always lawsuits, right? That's for better or worse. That's the way things are done. It used to be you dealt with them with a signed, you know, bat and a, you know, extra tickets. Now you get lawyers.
All right, Wolves in.
Okay, I'll be honest. I told you I think there could be a sweep. If I'm being,
it's not happening.
Okay, I think 5 games. I think they are the better team.
They're the better team. Yeah, I agree with you.
And I'm
saying Wolves in 6 because I think that Steph and just the veteran. I don't know though, man. They're beat down. They're worn out. The Warriors are tired. They are.
Yeah, I mean, where's the young energy going to come from, right? They're 3 stars. And listen, those guys are great, every single one of them, right? And listen, Jimmy Butler has has an axe to grind against Minnesota. So, you know, I think he, you know, might will them to a game or two. I mean, first off, the maturation of Anthony Edwards is something that people don't talk about. I know he does those silly things like a 23-year-old.
He does a lot of silly stuff.
But on the court, I mean, he's a strange guy because on the court, you know, he's maturing. I mean, were there any technicals in the first round?
I don't think so.
Right? I mean, not as many chirping, right? I mean, and, you know, I mean, Jaden McDaniels finding his offensive legs.
All right, I mean, let's go.
You think 6?
I'm saying 6. They could get it done in 5, though.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. We're Minnesota fans. We cannot look ahead.
They win tomorrow night, and then I won't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow night is our letdown game, right? We are rested, and they are tired.
Yeah,
but they're pros. I mean, listen, I don't. I mean, Steph Curry is Steph Curry, man. I mean, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter the NBA's ever seen.
Yep, I agree.
It'll be fun to watch. I'll be there. It'll be exciting.
All right, have fun, man. I'll be across the street at Target Field watching the Minnesota Twins.
Against the Baltimore Orioles.
The Baltimore Orioles. That's right, baby. That's right. All right, that's Stephen Silton, Colson O'Connor, sports and entertainment lawyer, joining us here on The Lake Show. We'll take a break, look at weather, and then we got 25 minutes left. Always great having Stephen Silton in studio. So knowledgeable. The 651 is asking me a question. Henry, why no meat? Are you eating pasta? No, I'm not eating pasta. I am just trying to get leaner, and for me to get leaner and lose some weight, I am doing fruits and vegetables. That's been the main source of my meals. Fruits and vegetables, right? So that's the deal there, man. So when I went into this, I wasn't thinking that I'm going to go like an entire month of no meat. But when you, because what do human beings do? They adapt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do after like 3-4 days, and I'm feeling better, and I'm flushing out my system, drinking a lot of water and fruits. I was like, yeah, I don't need to eat meat all the time. And so I've just basically, and when I say I've eaten meat once in the last 2.5, almost 3 weeks, it was this Saturday at the gala. That was it.
Okay. So how do you prepare your vegetables? And it's just differently? Like, do you have like a certain?
Some of it's raw.
Okay.
And some of it, you do a stir fry.
Okay. Yeah, it's like you were saying, it's all what your body gets used to, because you hear about certain, you know, regimens or certain recipes or, you know, diets, and you're like, I think sometimes if you don't think that you can do it, you're like, well, that doesn't even sound good. But like you said, once your body adjusts to it, like it just becomes a way of life. You figure out how to work around the things that you're not ingesting anymore, and you focus on the things that actually are healthy for you, and those proteins.
The other part about this, and I know that we'll get to headlines in the final segment, the other thing about this is that you got to have some moderation, okay? So moderation is something that you just, when you, and I'm not a person that believes that you don't treat yourself. Am I craving a donut right now? Yes. Am I going to have a donut this week? Probably not. Because you know what I want to be doing? I want to be living my best life in a month or so, or like when I'm in NBA Summer League,
mm-hmm.
and at the end of watching Cooper Flagg go against the Wolves Summer League team, at the end of that night, you know what I'm probably going to want to do? Is when I head back to the hotel, I'm going to pull up to Randy's Donuts and get me a nice cronut and just slam that bad boy at 9 o'clock at night, Pacific time. So, and
like how you said Pacific time.
Yeah, and I won't care. You know why I won't care? Because I've worked my butt off to get in better shape. So I'm not a person that believes that you got to be like super strict on yourself and you can't have fun.
Don't deprive yourself.
Yeah, I can't do ice cream. I can't. No, I am just in the mode right now of I just need to think about the, you know, being, you know, having some moderation. And to me, it's not even so much about the no meat. Over the course of the last almost 3 weeks, it's been no sugar. Sugar is what crushes you. Mm-hmm. Sugar is what we are all addicted to. And that is the big... You cut out sugar? You cut out sugar? Like, and when I cook...
And there are so many things that have sugar in it when it's processed.
Yes. And this is another thing. So I was somewhere, and I said to a friend of mine, I said, because they said, can you pass the salt? And I was like, yeah, you can have the salt. I said, I don't put salt on my food. Because you know what? There's a little bit of salt on everything.
Yes, there is.
So I don't need to add salt to anything. Yeah. I'll put pepper on stuff, but I'm not adding a bunch of salt on anything.
Yeah, and again, it's moderation. It's what can you do to stay on your plan and not deprive yourself? That's the thing. I think, you know, sometimes people think, well, when you diet or you have this, you know, very, you know, strict regimen, it's like, well, you have to do everything, and it's so miserable. Well, I think it's all about your mindset too. Like, if you go into it knowing that there's an end goal, and if you need to break it down incrementally, okay, I get through this day, I get through tomorrow, those become easier and easier to attain. But yeah, it is. It's sugars, it's salt, it's caffeine. Like, there are a lot of
processed food,
a lot of things in the processed food that is, but then it becomes so hard for people to want to do that because of the costs that are involved. So I mean, you're fortunate that you can do it and you've been able to stick to it, you know, for the last 3 weeks, and you're feeling good about it, and that's the most important thing.
I feel great. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll do headlines to wrap up the show right here on The Lake Show. All right, let's get ready to dive right into headlines. Real quickly, though, the first thing that I will mention, not in headlines, but in addition to headlines, is that although for the weekend I didn't crush, I only ended up making $200 for the weekend, but I did correctly pick the Kentucky Derby winner, although there's an asterisk. Going into Derby week, my pick was Tappan Street. Tappan Street got hurt leading up the weekend right before the Derby. So I had to scratch. That was my top pick. Scratched into my second pick, which was Grande. Grande was my second pick. Grande was the horse that I touted and gave you guys on the airwaves last Thursday night. Well, what happened Friday morning? Grande got scratched.
Yep.
So my second horse got scratched. And then my third horse on my list was Sovereignty, who ended up winning at 7-1.
I'm just surprised that when you give out...
Race alone, I made $525.
Okay.
To get me out of the hole.
It's always good to get out of the hole when you're gambling. But you didn't even have to give the asterisk. Like, you win. I mean, if you win, you tout your wins, and you never acknowledge the losses.
No, but I don't do that.
That's
I don't
what you do
that. I don't do that. When I give people people ask me, mm-hmm. who do you like in the Derby? Who do you like in the Preakness? Who do you like in the Belmont? Who do you like in the Breeders' Cup? I'm honest. Sometimes you hit a horse, sometimes you don't. I gave out Grande on the ear, and then the horse gets scratched the next morning. That bugged me, man. But now I will say this real quickly before we get the headlines.
No, we're fine.
Grande might be running in the Preakness.
Is that a spoiler?
Well, I'm just saying, there's two horses that I want to run in the Preakness. Grande or River Thames. Those are my two horses.
Okay. Well, we will find out more as we get closer to the Preakness.
Yes.
Hey, Eden Prairie High School English teacher Linda Wallenberg has been named the 2025 Minnesota Teacher of the Year.
Congratulations, Linda.
She's in her 49th year of teaching and has been a finalist for the award twice, including this year and back in 2005. Award was given out last night during a banquet and ceremony at the St. Paul River Center. She is the first Eden Prairie School District teacher to win the award, now in its 61st year. She started her teaching career as an English teacher in Faribault's Junior High. After more than a year, she went to Eden Prairie from Chicago, graduated from Gustavus in 1970.
Oh, she's not one of us.
No. Oh, she. Yeah. Sorry, you win the Minnesota Teacher of the Year, but you're not one of us.
I'm joking.
Does she have the accent, though? She's picked up the accent, then she's one of us. She has a master's degree in English education from the U of M, and it's chosen by a selection committee of education, business, and government leaders.
In all seriousness, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, no question.
And you know, I got a soft spot for teachers.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to start out with it, too, just a little bit of positivity here. Hey, the Department of Homeland Security is offering $1,000 stipends and free airfare to immigrants who deport themselves.
Is this a joke?
I feel like this is something that I know it's a real story. Well, thanks to our DHS Secretary, Kristi Noem, she says if you're here illegally, self-deportation is the best, safest, and most cost-effective way to leave the United States to avoid arrest. Another incentive is that migrants agreeing to voluntary deportation will be less of a priority for detention and removal ahead of their planned departures. Now,
planned departures. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Participation in the program may preserve the option for a migrant to re-enter the United States. I got to tell you, I don't think they're coming back. If you self-deport, I don't think the United States is like, ah, golly gee whiz, let's go back to the United States. Now, the offer of travel assistance has already been successful, according to the department, and I don't know why they wouldn't be completely forthcoming and honest with us. An immigrant who entered the country without authorization received a ticket for a flight from Chicago to Honduras, and more tickets have been booked for others in the coming weeks, according to the department, which, of course, is always 100% honest.
I don't even know what to say about that.
What What a great incentive. This is a great. I mean,
that's less than the COVID stipend.
I know.
COVID payments.
I know. See, what you do, you need to get $5,000 to have a baby, and then say you're here illegally, take the $6,000 and the ticket and go to, like, I don't know, Puerto Rico or something. That's where they, do you have a choice of where you're deported? I mean, you know what? I want to go to Brisbane. Send me to Australia.
I'll go to Toronto.
Okay. Toronto's a good city.
I like Toronto.
You should go to Winnipeg.
I'm
they got.
Serious. I like Toronto.
Man, you should go to Winnipeg. They got great strippers.
Hey, guys.
No dude about it.
The Twins are back in action. They'll be facing the Baltimore Orioles, and I will talk to you guys all about it tomorrow night on Final Pitch. Talk to you then.